Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 781, we are taught about the Church as the people of God. And it says that at all times and in every race, anyone who fears God and does what is right has been acceptable to Him. And that in the new covenant established in Christ's blood, He, quote, called together a race made up of Jews and Gentiles, which would be one, not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit, end quote. In the mystical body of Christ, we are called to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so, the question for our panelists today is, how are we doing as one chosen race? Are there too many divisions between races and ethnicities in the church today, especially in America? And if so, what do we do about it? First, we have with us the creator of That Black Catholic Chick Online, Roxy Beckles. She is joining us today from California. And up next is EWTN Spanish producer Daniel Godinez. Daniel joins us from right here in Alabama. And finally, we have content creator Christopher Quinn, and he's joining us today from Ohio. Roxy, you had been known on YouTube for over 10 years on your channel, Redefining Bodybuilding. But then about a year ago or two, you said on YouTube, you posted a video called, I am a Black Catholic Woman, and this is why I'm Catholic. And it got 80,000 views. So what led to you making that video, and why did that video make so many waves online?
Thank you so much, Ryan. Actually, I tell this story all the time. I did not set out to create a Catholic channel, nor did I necessarily step out to create a video about my Catholicism that would lead to the platform that I have. I originally created the channel as a means to talk about spiritual fitness, and I had no idea where that was going to go. But I knew that in order for me to speak about it in a way that made sense, I kind of had to come out, if you will, as a Catholic. And so I put together that video to just share my experience and background. And before you know it, it just took off. I mean, we have to thank God, of course, for that. I did ask Him to step into the middle of my business and my work and to just take it where He wants to, use me as He wants to. And there we are, off to the races. And why I think it did so well, I think it's just because it's a relatable story. And because in our country, you know, in the United States, as far as Catholicism is concerned, seeing an American Black Catholic woman is a rarity in many cases, because among Christians, Black Christians, we're only about 4%, both men and women, as Catholics that represent. So I think a combination of all the right things, the algorithm, just made that video an instant success.
Yes, and it was the launch of an entire YouTube channel now that is incredibly dedicated to you sharing with people about the Catholic faith and incorporating the whole fitness aspect and everything. So to put it in the context of your particular journey and the uniqueness that you're bringing to the table has been very effective. So, and speaking about being effective online, Daniel, you too, as part of EWTN's exciting new initiative, EWTN Next, we're about to start a new podcast hosted by you called Lost and Found. Can you tell us about the Lost and Found podcast and its relevance to the unique dynamics of Latino and Hispanic Catholics in America?
Definitely. No, Ryan, EWTN Next is absolutely exciting for sure. And we can't wait for it to take off. And this is, you know, what makes us very exciting about it is the fact that we're being part of this initiative with the Lost and Found podcast geared towards Latino Catholics in the United States, but also to everyone watching, you know, around the world, because it will be a video podcast that will launch with the EWTN Next initiative coming soon. And, you know, we've taken St. Anthony of Padua as our patron saint. You can only imagine why. And it's because, you know, he's the finder of lost things, too. So I believe he has a famous quote that I'd like to share with everyone today. And it's, I believe it's St. Anthony of Padua, if I'm not mistaken. And it's, actions speak louder than words. So let your words teach, but your actions speak. And this completely kind of just brings us to what the podcast will be about, which is testimony and living witness. You know, all of our guests will share their stories of, you know, what God has been doing in their lives, what He's done and will continue to do with their testimony and witness. And the greatest storyteller, you know what they say, it's God Himself. So we're excited to kind of just launch this and hear all the amazing stories that God and the Holy Spirit will do through the power of, you know, testimony and witness in our guests.
Amen. Praise God. And so, Christopher, on Instagram recently, you posted some words that it seems like were spoken to you and said, "Chris, can you cool it with the political stuff? Just go back to Bible verses, saint quotes, and beautiful churches." And you respond simply, "No, politics need our salt and light too." Mm. And it seems that acting upon that conviction runs through much of your activity on Instagram. Can you tell us about your inspiration for how you operate online?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Ryan. Here's the thing. For a long time now, Catholics somehow, for some reason, in a way, treat politics like it's some kind of leprosy, like we should avoid it at all costs, just keep the uncomfortable stuff under the rug. But we actually don't have the luxury of that anymore in the 21st century. We have to be in those spaces. And I don't even want to be considered a political Catholic influencer online. I'm just a Catholic that finds responsibility for the country that we live in to actually bring our values into that sphere so that we can influence where our country is and where we're going.
Amen. Right. So that you said about taking that responsibility, because we can't forget that aspect of things. And so
Absolutely. When
we talk about, though, improving racial unity within the body of Christ, is that a political concern? And if so, does that change how we should look at the situation and engage?
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it is. So as someone who leans on the conservative end of things, the less government, the better. And I think the moment that we start actually regulating and having policy regarding how we engage with one another as different races, it'll get really sticky, and it's kind of a bad direction to go in. So honestly, I think it's just about virtue, and I think it's about bringing our Catholic value into those spaces without having to have you to regulate things.
Amen. In the end, it's just all about virtue, and that applies to all of us, regardless of background
right. And
everything. So, Roxy, even though you say only 4% of Black Christians in America are Catholic, but you wouldn't know that if your only experience was of your parish in Southern California. Can you tell us about your parish life and how it is so robustly diverse?
Yes, absolutely. My parish is Good Shepherd in Beverly Hills, California. And I think just with it being in the middle of the city of Los Angeles and the county of Los Angeles, being a melting pot in any case, you have people of all backgrounds who come to celebrate the Holy Mass and to grow their relationship with Christ. So I think we're very lucky in that case and blessed in that case. I never feel as though I can look around and feel I'm alone or the only face that looks like myself. But I think the important thing to say is that, of course, you know, within the body of Christ, race should not be a factor as to whether or not you choose to become a member of the one true church, you know? There are, however, communities in Los Angeles, parishes in Los Angeles, that are predominantly Black, and they're thriving parishes as well, St. Bernadette and a few others. So I think that we are lucky in that we are in a diverse city that happens to cater to people of all backgrounds.
Amen. So now, Daniel, you've talked about how Hispanic and Latino Catholics experience the exact opposite situation from our Black brothers and sisters, since they make up 90% of Christians in America. And yet, as I've heard you talk about, there seems to be some unnecessary compartmentalization between races and culture still in average American parish life. Why do you think that is?
Totally. And those are crazy numbers, right? 90% of Latinos in Latin America identify as Catholics. But then when we come to the United States, it feels like that number drops a little bit. It's about like 70% of Latinos, period, in the United States identify as Catholic. And that makes up 43% of the life of the Catholic Church here in the United States, which is almost half of our Catholics here in the United States are Hispanic, are Latino descent. So that's amazing numbers. But I think the problem comes when, and I hate to say the problem because it depends with what kind of eyes you see the situation, because it could also be a blessing. Which is the beauty behind the Catholic Church is the fact that there's numerous cultures coming together as one. And I think that two major things factor in when it comes down to living faith here in the United States as a community. Specifically for Latinos, I think there's two things that I can think of off the top of my head, which is, you know, culture and language. So I think that culturally there's a big difference, but that's the beauty of it, right? That's the word Catholic, which is universal. That's the beauty of it, where we all come together, as Cardinal Serra would say when he approached the same exact question. He said, you know, we don't come together as one culture or as a communion and as one in the celebration of the Eucharist, because we're already becoming one with Christ. What we want to do is outside, you know, in the life of the parish, in the life of the community, how do we become one? And I think that's where we can break barriers when it comes down to language specifically. I think that a lot of Latinos, a lot of Hispanic, especially like the older generations that came to the United States from a different country, I think they want to incorporate themselves in the parish life, especially those parishes that don't necessarily have a Spanish Mass. But it's hard for them, and it's intimidating when they don't understand the language, when they don't understand what is coming at them. So I think it's very intimidating for them. And I do believe that if we kind of just see the culture aspect of it as a beauty, but we kind of just target the language barrier, and we start creating different things to kind of just help them reel them in, that would go a long way. Just a few days ago, I heard an amazing testimony, but also a phrase that I want to share with everyone, and it's it comes down to fishing. You know, I'm not a big fisher. Matter of fact, if my wife and I we were gifted a fishing rod. And we started feeding fish and not necessarily bringing them out. We would just put food and throw it into the lake. But when it comes down to fishing, I learned that just a few days ago is that you don't clean what you fish before you fish, before you catch it. You got to catch it first and then you clean it. So I think we have to kind of just do what we're supposed to do, and every single one of us, right? Every single one of us, when it comes down to building community, we have to catch first. We have to reach out and know that, yeah, there's cultural differences, but that's the beauty of the Catholic Church. But when it comes down to language, we can do certain things to make them feel welcome and into our parishes, you know?
Amen. To not look at those cultural differences and the language differences as a bad thing or as an obstacle, and not allow that to stop us from, as you say, reaching out. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to reaching out, Christopher, what have you observed about the integration of Black Catholics? And by Black Catholics, of course, we mean not just our African American brothers and sisters who were born right here in the States, but also those who might have just gotten here 2 months ago. So what have you observed about the integration of Black Catholics into the entire Catholic community?
You know, it's funny, Ryan. Even recently, I belong to a parish cluster here in Cincinnati that is predominantly two different white parishes and then one Black parish. And we had a parish festival and everyone showed up to Mass and everyone had a picnic afterwards. And it was so beautiful to see everyone experience the different cultures of the three parishes. Obviously, specifically the Black parish. They brought their different music and their traditions and their culture and their food. And what it comes down to, I think, what I've observed is that the important thing is exposure and experience. Because I look to my left and my right, and my brothers and sisters in the faith that are of European descent really loved what they got to experience, the music and the culture and the food and the music and everything like that. And so I really think it's just getting around each other. It's not a really complicated science. It's just witnessing to one another.
Amen to that. And seeing the beauty that everyone is bringing to the table and allowing us all to experiencing it, because when we do, we typically have a great time. So, yeah. Roxy, what else can be practically done to improve unnecessary separation within our Catholic communities?
Well, I mean, I think for one, it's really important to recognize that we as the laity have such a huge impact on who becomes a part of our church. And if we're going to really, you know, stick to the kind of the topic of specifically minorities, and what I know from my own experience as a Black American is that understanding that in this community you're speaking to people who are already Christian, generally, who are already Protestant, so they know a lot about the faith as far as Christianity is concerned. They know a lot about the Bible. And so it's speaking to them about what we have to offer, which is more a fullness, talking about the sacraments and how important that is in the spiritual life. But most importantly, I think that, again, we have the power. We can't rely on simply the clergy. We can't rely on our sisters and our nuns. We have to be the ones that hold the light, because we are the light. We are the salt of the earth. And so what's really important in parishes across the United States is to get active with ministries. At our parish in Good Shepherd in Beverly Hills, we have over 32 ministries that are very active and that do a great job at welcoming in new people to the fold, because it's a lot easier to say to someone, hey, you know, we have a speaking event going on, or we have a social event going on, versus saying to someone right off the bat, come to Mass. That could be a big ask for a lot of people. So I think that if we really look to building up our communities, building up our parishes, making them robust, those are one of the things that I think that many Protestant churches have above the Catholic churches in many communities, is that they evangelize by way of bringing people into the fold a little bit at a time. It's kind of like a business tactic. You know, you go, you see an ad online, you download the free ebook, you get on the email list. Before you know it, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars with someone, right? So it's the kind of same kind of system of just having these events that are open for fellowship, community building, relationship, and that is all so important in bringing people into the fold and eventual conversion to the faith.
Instead of just being passive recipients of the status quo, in other words, as lay people, like stepping up and taking ownership and being like the ones who are actually orchestrating these opportunities to bring people in, and that is being done so beautifully in so many places, as all of you have witnessed to today. So, Daniel, what do you think could lead to more unity in our parishes between Hispanics and whites?
Ryan, that's such a complicated question, but yet beautiful, man. I feel like everyone around the United States is trying to. Has identified that, and we're trying to navigate through those waters at this point in time in our lives, because we've identified there is the cultural difference, and we've identified the language barrier too, which can be overcome, you know. But I think that Roxy and Chris were kind of just talking about it too. There's so many different ways that we can, or even tactics that we can use that our Protestant brothers and sisters may be doing. We can kind of tear a page out of their book. But I think if we go, and I think that's the beauty part of this question, is that it'll take us to the root cause of all of this. Why? I guess the question could be, why do we have, why are a vocation crisis, you know, for example, not only in Hispanics, but also all over the world, there is a vocation crisis. I think it'll take us, if we go down to the root cause of everything, it'll take us down to the one thing that can only be found in the Catholic Church and not anywhere else. the Holy Eucharist, and the power of prayer, intercession, and adoration. You know, I think that we need more parishes that can kind of just, if we're looking for avenues to kind of just increase our vocations and also build community around the entire parish, could be Eucharistic adoration for everyone. That's a universal language that every single culture in the world, that every single person around the United States will identify with. And that's something that can be found in the Catholic Church and nowhere else, is the Eucharist.
And there is nothing more possibly unifying than our Lord and the Holy Eucharist.
Amen,
as we hear in the liturgy, Christ is wanting to gather a people to himself. And that's everybody. And yeah, and Eucharistic adoration in particular, that's something that everybody can participate in fully. Even if they're not Catholic and can't actually receive Holy Communion at Mass, they can go and sit at a pew with you, your friend who has hopefully invited them to participate in that intimate moment with our Lord. And maybe they can encounter him there in a way that can change their life. So it's those little decisions that can change someone's life, and we pray to God their eternity as well. So, Christopher, how do these racial dynamics in America today affect evangelization? Like, we've already talked about ministry and how things work in parish life, but how do all these things affect evangelization?
Yeah, Ryan, so one of the mysteries of humanity is that oftentimes in difficult times, which we find ourselves in now, good comes out of it because we are human, right? So looking at where we are at in America right now, it doesn't matter what skin color you are, people are struggling to buy groceries. People are struggling to find appropriate housing. People are just struggling in general. And so because of that, it's difficult to see skin color. An American is an American. So I take that concept and I bring that into evangelization. We're in difficult times. It doesn't matter what color you are. Everyone needs the gospel, right? One of the most valuable things that a ministry leader ever told me when it comes to evangelization and ministry as far as advice was, don't be weird. And I think that's just so appropriate. I think it's so applicable to everything. When you're looking at someone, you don't need to try to come in with assumptions of what their story is or what their experience is because of their skin color. They're a person, so just share the gospel with them, because the gospel knows no loyalty to race. You just share the gospel with them.
So I'm stacking up our advice here in the show, and it seems to be bring people to Jesus in the Eucharist and don't be weird.
Yes.
So, and you'll be on the right path. And possibly also, Daniel, have a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So, Our Lady of Guadalupe is arguably the greatest modern evangelist, not just of Hispanics and Latinos, but of the Americas in general, all of us. So, what lesson do you think we need to learn from her when it comes to becoming a unified chosen race?
Ryan, nine million is the number that 9 million is the number where Native Americans were baptized after the Our Lady of Guadalupe showed up, and it's absolutely insane. It's a great amount of new Catholics that came into the faith, and that is because Our Lady of Guadalupe was the bridge that brought two worlds together, two different cultures together, many different languages together as one in the body of Christ. And that is, you know, the beauty of it is that we can learn from this, as I mentioned before, as the culture is going to be there. There's going to be cultural differences, and we shouldn't see them as a bad thing. If anything, we should see them as the beauty behind our church. But if there's any barrier whatsoever, we can always go to Our Lady of Guadalupe and see that she was able to bring two worlds together into one, in the one body of Christ. And we can always encounter each other, and we can always see our brothers and sisters. You know, when you look at everything that's been going on around the church, especially, you know, just last year, where we were watching thousands and millions of people come from all over the world, youth from all over the world, just to come together and as one body of Christ in the Eucharist. And the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe will go a long way too. If we can take that model of evangelization and not see our differences as bad things, but rather as the beauty of God's love in us.
Because she is the mother to us all. And meeting us where we are is not just an accidental thing, but very intentional on her part. And that's an attitude that all of us should adopt. Very beautifully said, Daniel. So, and now, Roxy, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
Well, I have a special devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, actually. She is responsible for bringing me to her through consecration, through the brown scapular. And that so happened to be a call on my heart on her feast day. and her feast day is also the, she's a patron saint of our parish. So I think that our Blessed Mother, I mean, she, is there anybody better for evangelization? Is there anybody better for conversion, you know? And I think, interestingly enough, when it comes to speaking specifically to the African-American conglomerate of Christians, atheists, whatever they are, to bring them into the church, I think sometimes the biggest stumbling block is understanding our devotion to our Blessed Mother. So being able to show examples of how, you know, the thing that you'll hear often, the pushback, is the trope of the white Jesus and the Europeanization of Christianity, and to see that there is diversity within the church. There's so much diversity within the church, even among our saints and so many who are important parts of the unfolding of salvation history. I think that being able to point to someone like Our Lady of Guadalupe is a great opportunity to open up about how wonderful the Catholic faith is and how it's for absolutely everyone, regardless of race, background, or anything else.
Amen. Beautifully said. Christopher, this might be tough, but to close us out, what do we need to say today that hasn't been said already?
Well, I want to say two things. First is something that I reflected upon many years ago during Black History Month, and it's this. My culture, my Blackness, is never threatened by Catholicism. It's perfected by it. And my Catholicism that I was baptized into as a child is never threatened by my Blackness or my culture. It's actually blessed by it. I bring me, who I am, as gift to the church, to quote Sister Thea Bowman. But then the second thing I want to say, in regards to any race, any culture, any people group, Archbishop Chaput says, every single people group, every culture around the world is like a prism. And if you remember from grade school science class or middle school science class, when you shine a pure beam of light into a clear prism, a bunch of different colors just shine forth from it, right? And so whenever you bring the gospel into a culture, it only enhances it. It never destroys it. It never affects it in a negative way. And so I leave us there to say that every single culture, every single people group needs the perfect and holy gospel of Jesus and needs the church, and that your culture is not a hindrance to Catholicism. It's not threatened by it. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful gift to bring to the church.
Amen. And let us all think about these things the next time that we're reciting the Apostles or Nicene Creed at Mass and when we are professing our faith in the communion of saints. So thank you again, Roxy, Daniel, and Christopher, for being with us today for this fantastic conversation. And thank all of you for joining us. Do not forget to join us next week with host Father Joseph Mary Wolfe right here on the Catholic Sphere.